is in them because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three on this Friday. Weekend preview at the races presented by Twin Spires. Mike Welch, the most anticipated Welch visit other than, I suppose, Derby lead up. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
This matchup, and it's hard not to discuss this card without starting with the feature and had Ron Anderson earlier. He kind of likes Nick's go, but no surprise there, right? Mike, what do you expect to happen when these gates open?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, if talking to both trainers, it sounds like they're both, going to go. I mean, there's no doubt from that to
Oh, Mike, you're breaking up on me.
Hello?
Yeah, well, you broke up badly.
You there? You got me better now?
Now you're better, yeah.
Okay. I think Brad Cox's theory was he's got the best cost and he wins in front. You know, he gets the lead. He's never been beaten when he's in front since he's been with Brad. They were going to go anyway, but after drawing the rail, I mean, that sealed that decision. But I don't think there was going to be a decision there. And Todd said his horse's strength is his speed, and they're not going to take that away from him. So he's going to be leaving out of there, too. And whether he's going to engage or just sit right off, which would seem the more prudent way to go. I mean, you really don't want to get into anything too suicidal here. You'd like to see them, sort of set a moderate pace, 1-2 to the top of the stretch, and then from the top of the stretch up, let the best man win, You'd hate to see the two of them do something crazy early on and compromise their chances. It's possible. It's just hard to say how it's going to play out. And like Brad said, he's not calling it a match race, but from the gate to maybe the first turn, it's kind of a match race. That could be a key factor, that first eighth of a mile, and maybe ultimately decided the outcome, how things go.
How did you end up laying it out? I haven't actually looked at. I'll pull it up now. I haven't looked at your picks.
The picks out. I get confused on what day it is. Yes, it is. I picked Nick's go. I just went on the theory that he's older, he's more experienced, he's been the distance, he's faster on paper, and all that being equal, he's probably going to be in front early. All that being equal, I just had to stay with Nick's go. Although if life is good beats him, it wouldn't surprise me. He's training unbelievable. We certainly haven't seen the best of this horse yet. He's got an incredible year ahead of him. If everything goes well, he stays healthy. If he were to jump up and beat him, it certainly wouldn't be a shock the way he's training. His workouts have been nothing short of superb. Haven't seen Nick's go's work. Have looked at him here, though. He looks amazing, as he always does. So it was a tough call. It was really a jump ball for me. I vacillated back and forth, and in the end, I just went for the experience and the fact that this horse, Nick's goes one over this track. He likes the track, and That's just the way I went. But, you know, it's just a race. It's a good race to watch. I don't see any real, you know, value in playing the race. I suppose you could, you know, try to take the two of them on top and find something to be second, and on the theory that they might knock each other out and one of them will tire and not be second to the other. But to me, I'm just going to sit back, watch, enjoy, and cap off what should be a tremendous day.
Well, and of course, we should note you're going to force out the Rainbow Six tomorrow.
No. The force out is Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday.
Yes. Originally, they had thought about tomorrow, but they've made that Sunday now.
Oh, it's Sunday. Okay. All right. So check that, because I thought it's kind of weird. Why wouldn't you do it tomorrow?
I mean, there's a lot of thought about we're already going to have a big day tomorrow. We don't want to tie up our windows with pick six betting
race.
Gotcha. Now you make two big days out of it, and if the pick six survives tomorrow, which it probably should, it's going to set up a lot more lucrative carryover the following day. That's just my thoughts. I don't know what the thinking was there, but originally I'd heard it was going to be Saturday. I think we've had force outs on Pegasus several times in the past. I'm not so sure last year, if I remember correctly, but that was the way they decided to go.
All right. So for those that are going to stay focused on Gulfstream Sunday for a force out. Let's start to work our way backward then and talk about the Pegasus turf and certainly a lot of familiar faces here. And there's some interesting prices to mix and match with the obvious candidates.
Yeah, I mean, this is as wide open as it's probably the best betting race of the card as far as I could see. You can make a case for any number of these horses in here. And obviously you have to start with the defending champ, Colonel Liam, with the caveat that he hasn't run in a long time. He's not coming into the race this year like he came into it last year off in a very impressive win in the Tropical Park Derby, and then he ran back to that race, although he had to earn it with Largent giving him all he could handle. But, he's been off since June, according to my colleague David Norton. He's training terrific up there as well. From what I've seen on tape of his works on the dirt, that they've been good. But, you just don't know if he's going to be 100% or a little less than 100%. A little less than 100% might not be good enough. So I pick Sacred Life. I mean, this horse is in that, top form right now. Very fast.
Mike, we're losing you again.
What's going on
there? You
here?
Go. That's better.
Coming off a very good effort in California, he's just one of the ones. I mean, you can do worse than siding with Chad Brown in a situation like this. But this is going to be all about the trip, and there's so little separating him. I wouldn't be surprised if we see three or four across the line in this race. It's just, it's terrific for anybody that's got the capital to spread wide in here, because I think you could wind up with a big number.
I've got five horses at the top of my page that I to consider, and when it comes to ticket building, we'll try to, A, B, and C them. But Space Traveler on the rail for Brendan Walsh and Jamie Spencer aboard. I see that you've included a Tone, who I'm interested in too, and is 20-1. Maker is like a rash all over this card. We'll talk about him more.
Yeah, he's got four in here. They're all big prices. I think some of them are, the morning line's a little too high. I haven't even really paid much attention to the morning line here. You say 20-1, that's ridiculous. There's no way he's going to be 20-1. In the Fort Lauderdale, Doswell got the perfect trip from the rail, got loose on the lead. The fractions, who knows what they were. They were certainly not what they posted. But they did look like they could have been on the slow side, and the Tone was able to come running late from mid-pack after having to overcome a tough post. So I threw him in the mix. Obviously, he reunites with Javier, who won on him two starts back in New York, which is good. He's got an inside, post to start from. So, again, I don't disagree with Space Travel either. Same with him in the Fort Lauderdale, off that pace of Doswell. switched his leads late that day. So that's a bit of an excuse for him. He's going to put blinkers on for the first time today, so that could be a plus for him as well. You know, again, you can make a good case for a lot of them here.
Should be fun. Preceded by the Fred Hooper, the grade three going the flat mile. And I see a lot of, favoritism, but a lot of interest and leaning on Speaker's Corner, who I think is okay in here. But, boy, I thought if Fearless comes back to that Harlan's Holiday, isn't he the right horse in here?
That's who I picked. Yeah, I like Fearless. You know, he loves this track. You know, the one time he lost over it in five races, you know, probably a race he needed, bit of an excuse there. Ran a 99 buyer last week. You know, very well could go back to that triple digit at Oaklawn. Obviously, he may take triple digits. Speaker's Corner has run triple digit buyers three of his last four. But, you know, I just think he hasn't faced this horse as good as Fearless yet. I'm not so sure he has. The last time in the Discovery, a great effort, but it was, you know, three-year-old. Now he's back with older horses for just the third time in his career. You know, on numbers, if he runs his race, he's definitely the horse to beat, but I agree with you. I thought Field is definitely the horse to beat if he can trip out from the room.
All right, good. I didn't want to think I was was imagining things in there. I made a joke earlier that you know, they created this Pegasus filly and mare turf, and it almost feels like Mike Lakehow rode a race for Regal Glory.
Well, when they decided to,
Mike, I'm losing you.
First decided to run this race. I don't think it was with Regal Glory in mind, but it certainly looks like her race to lose. Class of the Field coming off a couple of big monster efforts, figure-wise. You know, everything points to her in here, and then beyond her, you know, you could probably make a case again for a lot of horses. One horse I included in my picks is Arms for Michael Stidham. Strictly a workout play. The horse has been training unbelievable over the Tapita. She's going to have to transfer that horse, that form, to the dirt. But I just thought she was a horse to take a look at a price. And Giftless, too, I thought was a horse that might be moving forward, seems to be training well, and will be a price. If you're inclined to think that Regal Glory is going to win this thing at a short price, you might be looking for something to tuck underneath it for some value in the exact as it tries.
Well, and a couple of horses also on that front. Summer in Saratoga, who bypassed the opportunity in New Orleans last week for this. And that Shifty She, who was like a marvel down there.
Yeah, you know, the problem with Shifty She is, you know, whether she can get loose on the lead. I think she had, you know, everything to her advantage last time, and Sweet Melania still managed to run her down. But, you know, except for Lady Fight Spear, she might be the only speed in here. So if she gets loose, you gotta respect her, certainly. And she certainly does love this course. So there's something to be said for her, too. Again, you know, Regal Glory to me looks like the class of the field. But if she comes up a little wanting here, then you can go a lot of different ways looking for the upset candidate.
Working backwards, the start of the pick five is the inside information. And when I asked, holy cow, it's Lou Raffetto, everybody. Just like a jack-in-the-box. you know, I look at this inside information, and I brought up Just One Time with Ron Anderson earlier. And, boy, he exuded a quiet confidence about this Brad Cox filly, new to the barn. And I just checked the morning line. I hadn't looked earlier. 3-1, so she is the favorite.
Yeah, and probably will go a little shorter just out of respect for Brad. But there's a lot of questions to ask here. You know, I mean, this is a huge, huge class jump for her, doing most of her damage against Pennsylvania bred. Her numbers are terrific. She's certainly right there on numbers. The fact that they reached out to Joelle is a good sign. She's a question mark at 7/8. The other thing that you notice about this race is a lot of speed, and she's going to be part of that mix, perhaps, you know, stretching from 6 to 7. She's going to be showing a lot of speed, although Joelle may just opt from an outside post. you know, to sit off here. The interesting horse, you know, we've seen here a lot. I've seen her here. I've seen her in New York. Always on the grass, and now Jakarta comes back, one of the favorites on the dirt, going 7/8. We never thought I would see that, but if she runs back to those numbers she ran last time at Parks, she's going to be right there, too. The question is, can she win if she gets tangled up in a speed duel early? The horse that finished second to her that day, Miss Mosaic, actually came back and won a stakes in her next start at Oaklawn with an 87 fire. So, you know, Jakarta's in the mix. AG Indy's a very interesting horse to me for Todd Pletcher. All turf form. One dirt race was not good, but looking at the workout reports, she actually worked with Fearless last time. You might want to just take a look at the workout reports with her and get interested there. Dance Fioro going to be part of the early mix. If there's a closer in here, perhaps Four Graces. You know, this horse is really the only legitimate 7-furlong horse in the race. 4 out of 6 at the distance. And I can say she's got to win over the track. And I could see with Julian aboard, especially, you know, her being rated back off. And if things get really crazy up front, I could see her coming along at the end, too. I did pick on top. I did pick just one time. But, you know, it's probably not a horse I would play with any real confidence at a short price, which she's probably going to be.
Looking at the McKnight and the mile-and-a-half turf event, and, you know, there's a couple of obvious players like Glynn County and I suppose, Eban for Pletcher. But there are some prices in here, Mike, that I thought were intriguing. That includes Bama Breeze for Rusty Arnold, who's 12-1. Shug has got Baker's Bay that seems to be moving forward, and I thought had a look at 12-1. So I respect Glynn County tremendously from Maker, but I want to get some prices involved.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those races, too, that you can make a case for a lot of them. And, you know, Glynn County is just a giant, giant question mark. I mean, the Sycamore, his last start was terrible, and I don't know what the reason was for it. He obviously had a problem coming out of it because he didn't work again for a couple of months. He's worked 3 times here. He's looked okay to me. You know, working over the dirt. I mean, you go back to those races against Imperador, Arklow, Domestic Spending. You know, he runs back to those. He's a winner. But it's just, you're not sure whether he's going to do it or not. I have Bamron Breeze. I included this horse in my numbers. I thought he ran very well in the Sycamore. He made a big middle move and flattened out late. And that race produced a couple of next out winners. So you got to respect that. Farmington Road, I thought, was an interesting horse as well. Seems to be training really well coming into the race. This is, again, one of those races. I'm never a big fan of betting mile-and-a-half races on the turf. Just not my favorite thing and way to go. But it's a big, the big question mark, obviously, Glynn County in here, though.
That is the start of the Rainbow Six, the all-stake Rainbow Six. There's a handicap that goes as the sixth race, which is the first of the races from Gulfstream that'll be used as mandatories here on Saturday. They're using race 6, 7, 8, and the 11th. So the handicap, the McKnight, the inside information, and the turf Pegasus event, and the sixth, a nice group of 12 going a mile and 70 on the all weather. Mike, I guess you landed on Frosted Over for Cassie. Let's talk about the Prevaillant, though, because I like a horse at a price in here on the outside. Brian Lynch with Honor Hop. It's going to be a horse I know I'm playing tomorrow. What'd you do in the Prevaillant?
I picked Sorrel, but not with any real confidence. This race is, seems to me, one of those races where if you run it a couple of times, you might get several different results. Always shopping. You know, beat this field last time, or most of these in the year, and was pretty well clear of the other ones coming out of that race. But she did have to work hard, though, to turn back Harajuka, so it's just a matter of how much did that take out of her coming back at a mile and a half off a pretty hard race. She may have a bit of a pace advantage again, but I thought Sorrel ran sneaky good in that race. He was kind of down on the rail, which I didn't think was the place to be that day. really didn't get much of a trip, got back too far off what was probably a not-so-fast pace. Again, the track is, didn't do us any favors. We don't have any real pace numbers in there. But I just thought they're switching to IRAD today. It's the fourth different rider in four starts in this country. Christoph Clement searching for the right combo. Maybe he found it with IRAD. Breaking from the rail, I'd like to see her get a, see him get a little more aggressive, keep her up closer to what's probably figures to be a soft pace. And if you go back to, you know, the race she ran in the Orchid, I think she's definitely good enough to beat these, having had, you know, now several races under her belt in the U.S. This is the third start of her current form cycle, so I think she'll be a little bit of a price. And you got Christoph, you got IRAD, you got a good post. That was my the deciding factor there, but you know, I'm not approaching that pick with any, you know, super confidence. It's another one of those races that I think if you run it several times, you're going to get several different results.
Mike, let's touch on the two maiden groups, and there's some interesting things going on, not the least of which is in the fourth, and this is 7 furlongs. We got one for the boys going short and one going long on the dirt. We'll talk about the second in a minute, but I thought that this seventh race, or the fourth race going 7/8, deserved some conversation. And there's an interesting breeding note that that caught my eye just this morning, and that's the Whites, Dewey and Karen White, White Fox Farm. They've got two of their three-year-olds from this year that landed in this race that are both making career debuts. Magia Nera for Ron Lombardi and Kelly Breen, the Whites bred with Godolphin, $100,000 OBS Bernardini colt. And then on the outside, Congressman caught the attention of Windstar and Sienna. They bred this Constitution colt out of their Unbridled Song mare, Don't Stop to Shop, a $275,000 yearling. And I don't think they're a big operation. I don't know how many broodmares they have, but pretty crazy that they land two in this high-profile maiden race.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting race. You got a lot of first-time starters with a lot of question marks. You know, even for me, I mean, I Shook's got one in here. Umber, haven't seen at all. Chad's got one. Makalop, that haven't seen much of, although I did get to see a tape of one of her work, one of his works from the Payson. And then, of course, you got Todd. And these races this year, so far this meet, these baby races, twos and now threes, he's just totally dominated them, seemingly with an endless supply of talented first-time starters. I don't want to give too much away because then I get our clocker customers are mad at me if I give away the, you know, what's on that clocker report here. But there are some very interesting works that you might want to look at. I will say Swing Ship worked in company with Mo Donegal a couple of works back. And I believe Mo Donegal is being pointed to the Holy Bull, and Congressman is has looked okay too. So this is a race that just because unfortunately we don't have anybody at Payson to see two of these first timers that brought some good money, but there is a lot of information on there about the ones we have seen, of the ones that have run. You know, Bourbon Heist is obviously the key to the race. I mean, this horse has been knocking on the door against some really good horses. In maiden races of various distances, and maybe 7/8 is really what he wants to do, and he's going to be coming late, and if the speed does tie up in here with his experience, you know, he might actually wind up being the right one, although, you know, with a horse that's had 5 chances and still a maiden, and you got so many promising youngsters, you usually want to, you know, look at one of the new faces. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, not only on the track, but on the tote board, who's ultimately going to go off the post-time favorite. I'm going to guess probably one of the two Todds or Bourbon Heist.
I thought the two Safi Joseph horses that have run are okay. That's Surpassing and Positive Review.
Yeah, I mean, they just add to the mix, no doubt about it. Positive Reviews puts blinkers on today and gets Joel. And, you know, you'll see how he's been working with blinkers if you grab the clock report. And you know, Surpassing finished second, a distant second to Tamper in his debut, but that was to a Todd Fletcher first time starter that ran a 75 and who came back and ran second with a 77 in the Pasco. So you have to respect surpassing with a race under his belt moving forward as well. He's a half-brother to En Boutant, who was a two-time Grade 2 winner, if you sure you remember. You always
sure.
Do.
Well, and speaking of siblings and half-siblings, Montauk Point comes back for a three-year-old debut, the Violence Colt for Shug McGahee and Helen Alexander and Annette Allen, and this one, the half to Kafefi. But it does feel that being out of an unbridled mare, that Montauk Point might appreciate the two turns. What are we doing in that second race? This feels like, you know, a potentially important group.
Yeah, I didn't have a good feel for the race. I mean, to me, Beyond Best is going to go right to the lead, and if he can go that far and with the blinkers and the Lasiks, you know, they just might not beat him. I think he's going to probably wind up the favorite in here just because of the Todd Power and the full makeover here with blinks and Lasiks, and getting Louis on him, although he had Irad last time. That wasn't the greatest of races that he came out of. I mean, the horse that won the race came back and ran fourth in the Jerome, but the horse who finished second by a lot, Authorized, was last at his next start at 3-5. So, you know, there might be some reason to try to take a shot against Beyond Best, other than he's probably going to be loose on the lead over what may be a speed track. I went for Happy Boy Rocket.
Yep.
I thought this horse ran pretty well first time out, didn't get the best of trips, broke slow and looked a little green to me, got hung out wide. Behind American Icon, another one of those Todd first-timers that just ran off the screen. So he gets blinkers, Lasiks also, full makeover there too, race under his belt. The post a little scary, he's mile in the 16th races. Anything outside 6 or 7, you got to get lucky going into that first turn. But if he can get a little help up front with Todd and maybe this race will collapse, I think the extra distance will do him well. And I also thought Practical Way is eligible to improve for Safi, making his third start. I don't know what happened last time. I'm just putting a line through that. But he's also putting blinkers on. And his last work with blinkers out of the gate wasn't horrible. He gets Jose today for the first time, or tomorrow for the first time. So he's interesting. But you can make, again, another one of these races. You can make a case for a bunch of them. I think it's just going to be a matter of whether Beyond Best is going to come back to the field, because I do see him on the lead easy in going into that first turn, breaking from the rail.
Well, the only other race to talk about and to close things out with Mike Welch and the Clocker Report. When's the Clocker Report going up?
Still working on it. There's a lot of stuff in there. Hopefully by about 3 o'clock today.
All right. Well, that third race, Mike, is a fun betting race as well. And I've got 2 8-to-1s, a 6-to-1, and a 5-to-1 as my horses. 3, 7, 9, 11. Song of Innocence from Jonathan Thomas. That Lucy's Cakes Fly for Mike Maker. Champagne Lady for Shug, and Gladys for which Danner is that? can't keep track of the Danners. The third.
Yeah, no.
Kelsey. Oh, Kelsey.
Gladys.
Kelsey Danner.
Yeah, for Kelsey Danner?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that horse is, again, you know, breaking from the far outside.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to go a mile and a 16th from the outside on the turf than it is on the dirt, but we'll have to work out a trip. I didn't pick any of those four. I picked number one, Traffic Song. Just thought this horse is improving for Jimmy Toner. It's going to get Jose Ortiz up. Should get a great trip from the rail. I just think this horse is sitting on an improved effort, but again, it's one of those races where you just made a case for four, and I picked the fifth, so it tells
how about
you how wide open it is.
Yeah, exactly. The mile and a 16th on the grass. Well, in terms of conditions, I know it's going to be cold, but anything to know about the turf and the main track?
Turf is listed firm today. It's fast. There doesn't seem to be any rain in the forecast, so we should be good there. You're right. It's going to be very cold. I don't know if the wind will have any effect on things, but I know I'm not looking forward to going out and clocking tomorrow morning, and especially Sunday here. The wind chill factor is predicted to be 25 here on Sunday morning. And,
unbelievable.
Up on the roof there, that probably means about 15. But
unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, this is the coldest we've had it here, and it might wind up being a couple of years. And, you know, hats off to everybody that's going to put on the show and be. I know it doesn't sound cold, to everybody up north there, but they're relatively speaking, when it gets in the 30s here, as it's going to be Sunday morning, that feels pretty cold. So we're going to have to put up with that inconvenience here over the weekend, but better cold than wet. So that's
true.
A good thing.
That's true. All right, you got any rooting interests at NHC? Any of your circle of friends that are contesting?
I root for everybody that brought the Clocker Report and is using the Clocker Report.
I love it. Mike Welsh, thank you. We'll be watching and betting. DRF yeah. Welsh, everybody.
Should be a great day. Looking forward to it. I just hope. Main thing, everybody comes back healthy and happy out of their races, and whatever happens other than that is just gravy.
Exactly. Mike Welsh, folks, DRF Welsh for all the action tomorrow, and first post 11:30 for the 12 race card. We got a little less than a half an hour. We got about 28 minutes to close out, and James Scully is standing by, and we'll wrap up with Papo, who actually I retweeted a few of the charts for Form to Win and their look at the stakes at Gulfstream. We'll talk about it with Papo in a minute. Right now, James swings in, and good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. And before we do anything else, James, I want to make sure to remind everybody that is leaderboard contestants. You got, you know, big opportunity. Now they're going to start coming on a weekly basis. You got to make sure to opt in and keep pace in the leaderboard.
Absolutely. It's a $100,000 Kentucky Derby prep race promotion at twinspires.com. It's one of our most popular promotions. Free to enter. You have to opt in. We're going to be giving away, like I said, $100,000 in prizes to the top 100 finishers. The contest runs through the final points race, the final qualifier on April 16th. Plenty of time to hop in. Obviously, the races increase in value as you know, as we get closer to the spring, and you get, including in that is two VIP trips to the Kentucky Derby. So, yeah, check that out. Kentucky Derby. Twinspires.com. The Kentucky Derby Prep Race Contest, and we have even more promotions there available to our players. Money back promotion on Pegasus World Cup cards. So, check out the eligible races and all we got to offer, Steve.
And I'm just actually you mentioned the money backs. Those are always fun. Plus, there's you know the added value during the week, the trifectas or the
we have exact insurance.
Yeah, the insurance exactly. Always worth it, and it, you know, a lot of cases it'll helps negate takeout. So make sure you check them out each one and. Don't forget, you have to opt in. That's on you, actually. let's see. Let me. I'm trying to pull up the. What do we got? Who do we have on the leaderboard?
Let me see.
I'm having my. I tried to pull it up, and tell you, as soon as this room filled up, the internet. The more this room fills up, the more.
Right now, we've got Joe from Delaware is topping the contest. He has 35 points. Paul is second with 30 from Connecticut, and Sue from Illinois, and Kim and Benjamin. Kim from California, Benjamin from Louisiana. All three are tied with 28. You know, and right now, those are all on the 17-point qualifiers. They're 10, 4, 2, 1 to first through fourth. So plenty of time to get in if you haven't joined the contest yet. It really gets going once the point values increase in these qualifiers.
Exactly. All right. And, of course, if you scroll down from there, there's all kinds of information. James's plays for today at Oaklawn, some spot plays, and the tip sheet for Pegasus, for the Pegasus Turf tomorrow, and a lot more, some NBA and NASCAR and anything you can imagine. Twin Spires Sports as well as the racing action. But let's talk racing. And see what you got lined up for the weekend.
All right. Well, I'll just start with the Pegasus World Cup. You know, I like Nick Scow. I think he has the speed to hold his position at the rail. And even if life is good, does outsprint him from the break, I think Rosario will be able to negotiate a trip to his outside. And that horse has to turn a foot on the turn, Steve, to keep pace, I believe. And if they get to the top of the stretch, it's a situation where his experience, Life is Good, has never been a mile and an eighth before. And in all of his wins, he was clear at the top of the stretch. So if those horses are side-by-side turning for home, I'm going to give the advantage to Nick's Go.
Yeah, interesting. The more we've sat here this morning, the more I'm leaning in that same direction. But for the purposes of multi-race, you got to respect the mile winner. You know, one thing that does, and plenty of people have brought it up, from a distance standpoint, you are asking Life is Good to, you know, to make a little added distance, make another eighth, and you got the foundation that Nick's Go enjoys into this. Not to mention, frankly, that Cox knows that this is the walk off stage. I mean, there was nothing to hold back getting ready for this spot. So
And you had the Fairgrounds Cocker Lawn last week just talking how brilliant he's held his form since the Breeders' Cup Classic. I was really just like, I think that Nick's Go rebroke at the top of the stretch in both the Whitney and the Breeders' Cup Classic. I look for him to have another gear in reserve on Saturday.
Interesting. Well, I did see Life is Good schooling in the paddock, I think yesterday. Was it yesterday or Wednesday? And he is filling out and kind of ballooned up, muscled up, and looks spectacular. It is cool that we're getting this matchup, because I think a lot of people assumed one or the other would somehow, fall by the wayside. All right, what else?
All right, well, I'm going against Todd Fletcher in the Pegasus World Cup. I like a couple of his horses on the undercard. I'm going to start in race number four. I'm going to play he's got two in there. I like Congressman on the far outside. Constitution Colt making his first start in race number four, the 12 horse in there. I'm going to hope to get a decent price from the outside, 5-1 on the morning line. Turning my attention to race number eight. This is the inside information. It's a pretty well-matched group of fillies in here, Steve, but I am intrigued by this AG Indy. Doug O'Neill only raced her once on the main track, and that was in her career debut. She was sort of dropped into the claiming ranks, but she got real good this fall. Her pedigree is built for the main track. She's from the immediate female family of 2019 champion three-year-old male Summerbird. I think that if she takes the main track, her speed is extremely dangerous and inside information, and she could just get a little overlooked considering the depth of this field.
As it happens, Mike picked Just One Time, who we talked about earlier with Ron Anderson, but he also thought that that at 6-1, AG Indy had a bit of an intriguing look. That if you were looking for somebody else, Mike likes the way she's worked coming into this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll hit the two main turf races real quick. In the Pegasus Philly Mare Turf, obviously Regal Glory is the mare to beat in there. She comes off a real nice win in the Grade 1 Matriarch at Del Mar. But I'm intrigued in here, Steve, by number 5, Gift List. And I just thought that this filly was toiling in the claiming ranks in Europe yet as a 2-year-old. She came to the U.S. last winter and appeared to really train well in preparation for a start. Came back and ran a good second in the Appalachian at Keeneland. And I thought her performance in Edgewood that day was brilliant. She won by about 5 lengths. I loved her effort that day. I thought in the Wonder again, she was completely compromised by the pace and her trip. She was running late. She exited that race with some kind of issue, got sick in the interim. But she has been training lights out on the turf at Prairie Meadows for this return. I know it's a tough task off the shelf, but at a price, I'm going to be using number 5 Gift List. I think she's got a shot to run well. And if she does run well, you won't get a good price on her going forward. I think she's going to have a good 4-year-old season on the turf in the Philly and Mare ranks.
Yeah, and Mike agrees with you, too. He absolutely made a case that Gift List was a fun inclusion, and nobody's going to argue that it's Regal Glory. The race goes through her.
Right, absolutely. In the Pegasus World Cup turf, I respect Colonel Liam, but I'm going to try to beat him off that lengthy layoff, and I'm going to go to the stablemate. Obviously, he has number 12, never surprised, has to overcome that outside post. But he's got the speed to do so, I believe. He's really sharp right now. This will be his first start against older horses, raced strictly against three-year-olds last year. But he is in form, and I just think he's going to get have a pace advantage on these horses, and I'm going to tap him wire to wire in the World Cup turf.
All right.
And then I'll turn my attention to Oaklawn Park on Saturday. Got a couple plays there. They have the Southwest Stakes, $750,000 Southwest Stakes, the second of four Kentucky Derby qualifiers this meet. This race has Newgrange shipping in for Bob Baffert. I was impressed by his win in the Sham. I think he'll take some beating in there, but I do think there's some pace in there, and I think he's going to have to deal with, namely, Ben Diesel from the start. Ben Diesel was compromised by that outside post and Smarty Jones. I think he's going to set sail from that inside. There's other speed in there. I'm looking for an off-the-pace horse in here. I gave a look to Ignitus. I sort of liked him early in the week, but I don't know if he's good enough to win. I landed on number 5, Costa Terra, and for Steve Asmussen. He's a gun runner colt coming back. He broke his maiden first time out off the pace at Ellis Park in a real dogfight by nose. Came back in the Juvenile Stakes. Just got beat in that race after a really tough trip in traffic in the stretch. In the Breeders' Futurity, Costa Terra completely broke the break. I mean, missed the break for the first time in his career. Was dead last, even going down the back stretch. I liked his late run in there. I think that Breeders' Futurity is going to be a good race this year. I think I like Rattle and Roll and Classic Causeway out of that field. And I think Costa Terra is going to get the right setup. And at 12-1 on the morning line, I'm going to take a shot at him, Steve, in the Southwest.
Jay Pridman was adamant that if you're looking for price, this is your race. Among the high profile stakes of the weekend, that this thing just is asking for it. And the way in which the field from the Smarty Jones was redistributed, and most notably by Ben Diesel, who goes from the 13 hole, last month to the rail, kind of fun. So there's a lot going on in here, and I don't disagree. My lean was Osborne. Had some interest in Vivar as well. So there's going to be some whoever comes out of this with a ticket to cash is going to be entitled to some chest pounding.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see how Secret Oath runs in the Martha Washington. I liked her allowance win last time for Lucas. I think she could be a nice three-year-old filly. And I got another pick on the undercard. I got a pick in race 8 tomorrow at Oaklawn Park. I like this number 6, Divine Armor, making his first start for Hollendorfer. This horse invades from Southern California. Sadler had 50 starts at Oaklawn this last year. It doesn't look like he's going to have any starts this meet. They turned him over to Hollendorfer. His form is good enough to win. He's been on all these short fields. He's an off-the-pace runner. I think he's going to get a ton of pace in this race and prove best under John Velasquez. Devon Armory, 6-1 on the morning line, number 6 in race 8 tomorrow.
Well, and Hammer talked about Divine Armor and the circumstances, because Aronis basically just sending the horse for Hollendorfer to handle at more or less to saddle and send out in this case. So kind of clever.
I've got a last second play on Friday. I like in race number 8 at Oaklawn. It's a stakes quality allowance today. It's a lot of speed in there. Shared Sense, I think, is going to be dangerous, but I'm going with Trident Hit, Steve. He needed that. He got good last year. He won 3 races last year. He ran huge at Oaklawn, winning an allowance. He came back last time Ron Moquette did off of a freshening and gave him that race at a mile, 3/16. It's going to sharpen him up. I think Trident Hit, 12-1 on the morning line, at the very least, is a top 3 contender, and that's my last second Friday play.
Well, Scott Shapiro is on board, and I've always been a fan, so no problem with Trident Hit, no complaints. All right, let's turn to the Sunday championship games. I'm curious what you're doing.
Hey, you know what? I get Patrick Mahomes and that offense for Kansas City brilliant on Sunday night, but that defense was completely gassed. Fell apart late. Now they're turning around and going against the high-powered Bengals. 3 weeks ago, they gave up 11 catches, 266 yards, and 4 touchdowns to Jamar Chase. That defense is going to adjust and put all this focus on him and the other receivers, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, C.J. Uthumada, even Joe Mixon. They're going to kill the Chiefs defense. That's going to be a game just like last weekend that comes down quite possibly to who has the ball last. I like Cincinnati, but I love them plus the 7 points. They're getting no respect, and that's the only way to play that game if you're betting the betting line, in my opinion. And then I'll take the Niners. I think they're tougher physically than the Rams. That game could go either way, but I got the Niners and Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl, Steve.
Well, I've been singing this since last week, going in and saying if there's going to be an opportunity for the Bengals to get back to a Super Bowl, it's going to be against the Niners, because that's the only team they're allowed to play.
Exactly, and hopefully the third time will be the charm.
for everybody in the tri-state area, I mean, it would be a huge thrill, obviously, and they're overdue. All right, so it's funny because Scott was focused on the over-unders. He's taken the under in the NFC game, and he's taken the over in the AFC, and you like the plays, taking points for both the visitors to close things out. Well, should be a lot of fun, and the fact that I think this, in my memory, I think this is the first time that we're going to have had the championship games on maybe one other time in the 7 years we've been doing this, that the championship games were on the screen during the contest. I think there was 1 year that they overlapped. So, all right. Well, I think we lost James there at the end, but no, James said phone cut out. Didn't hang up on you. No problem, James. Papo is going to join us, Papo Morales, to close out the morning. Let me see if there's anything as we wrap up. We touched a tiny bit, obviously, on Sunday with the Houston Ladies Classic card. But one of the fun things, of course, is the NHC broadcasts will enjoy, the ability to handicap and flesh out all the races that, that come up. We're going to start about 3 o'clock today and probably go, 3 to 7:30, give or take. And on Saturday, we're still waiting. Can't really give you a Sunday number, but it looks like 2 o'clock on Saturday. So 3 o'clock today, 2 o'clock tomorrow. And probably in the 2 o'clock range as well on Sunday, but we'll make that official as soon as they release the mandatories for Sunday, which should be coming. And one thing that is coming to pass, they are going to include Sam Houston at the final table. There's going to be absolutely going to be at least one, and more likely two races from Sam Houston on the final table card Sunday evening. All right, so we'll be able to hear from Nick Tamaro in the room, which will be, I think, might be emotional, actually. I think Papo is with us.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Papo, how are you?
I'm doing well, other than the snow that surprised us this morning in Louisville. At least I was surprised. Woke up and I was like, well, where did this come from? But nice to look at, not great to drive through. So,
Well, especially there. I mean, it's not you guys. Kentucky's had as much as the Northeast. I mean, that's going to change this weekend. But you guys have had a number of storms that have come through and given you some shoveling to deal with.
It's you never know what you're getting here in Kentucky, that's for sure. And we had a couple cold days. There were several days where I looked on my phone and it was a balmy 8 degrees first thing in the morning. So, yeah, you know what? But you never know with Louisville. Tomorrow I think it's going to be beautiful and sunny, not very warm, but at least some of the snow will hopefully melt off.
Well, and I'm just looking at upstate. We're not going to get much of this storm is not going to really get the Capital District. So, Tina, I don't have to worry about Tina haranguing me for not being around when the snow flies. Well, let's get some thoughts. Let's get some form to win charting. And I retweeted you put up three. How do we look?
Yeah, Steve. So I'll start with the big race tomorrow, and I mean it's the top two horses. Life is Good and Nick's Go. I'm going to give a slight lean to Life is Good. I think this may be the passing of the baton. Looking forward to the matchup, but two horses that fit. I mean, obviously not on top, but if you wanted to throw in the mix, were Sir Winston and Stiletto Boy, who are both decent prices. Now, in terms of wagering on the race, I don't know if you can get one of those in second, but if you were going to play the exacta, maybe you try to do that. But it should be a good showdown with a slight lean for me, at least with Life is Good.
I'm glad you mentioned Sir Winston because his whole form is a little bit murky, but there is something notable. These four performances, now that he's in a nice groove, are very solid on synthetic. He has not been on the dirt in a while, and there's nothing to say that he does not just come back and run an A race, but fit nicely as an alternative, and he'll be completely glossed over. I mean, if he could be second or third somehow in this thing, he will. Juice up your exotic.
Yeah, that would definitely be the hope. And if we step back a race, Steve, the Pegasus World Cup turf. I'm just going to read them straight down the line in terms of how Form to Win had them. Number one, Space Traveler. Number seven, Doswell. Number two, Atone, and then Sacred Life. So all of those are decent prices. So I would try to have those in the mix, especially in the multis.
And then what did you do for a setting on the distance the Pegasus turf?
I went 10 to 12. So 10 furlongs to 12 furlongs, last 40 weeks, all on turf. That's what I used for that race. I was thinking the McKnight.
You're thinking the McKnight.
So for the nine furlong turf, I used a mile and a 16th to nine furlongs.
All right.
Last 40 weeks. And it put Space Traveler on top. Now, it's only one star within the data set, but he absolutely fit. Both on average, he's one of those dual qualifiers that we talked about, Steve, both on average equibase and also average form to win.
Well, and I like him. I like him plenty. And you mentioned Atone 20 to 1. And it's a fun. It's a nice prelude to the feature, definitely.
Yeah, and then going to the McKnight, which is at 12 furlongs. Price horse, Bama Breeze, absolutely fits, as well as the logical horses, Temple and Glen County. But the price horse, Bama Breeze, was ranked number one, and that's the on that filter I used 10 to 12 furlongs last 40 weeks. And then just to talk about a dirt race, race 8, 7 furlong inside information, I like the 5-horse, 4 graces to come from a little bit off of it. Fits with the just one time, the 8-horse, as well as the 7 Jakarta. And then I'll give a horse out if you want to throw on the bottom of the tries and supers. I don't know how it fits, just looking at pure figures, but it fits on not too far off on form to win, and that's the four horse, Montapique Chu, who was 20 to 1 on the morning line. So maybe if that horse could hit the board, it'll spice up the verticals just a bit.
Well, and you mentioned the McKnight. I Bama Breeze absolutely is high on my priority list. 12 to 1 for Rusty.
Yeah, absolutely fit. And got time for a couple more. Steve, the Fred Hooper, race 10, going 8 furlongs on the main track. I like the 7, Dennis's Moment, at, decent price, a little over 4 to 1. The 6 horse, Liam, at 5 to 1. And then, of course, you've got the 8, Speaker's Corner. And then the, horse is going to get a lot of play, the number 1, Fearless. But if you're looking for a price, maybe Dennis's Moment can get it done.
Well, Dennis, you know, it's funny. I was trying to, when I was making some notes, I was trying to figure out a way to work, the intriguing Dennis's Moment, and he's made a quarter of a million, as you know. So it's not like he's had, a bad career, but he's been such a star-crossed horse, and so I kind of root for him to. Get some of the laurels that seem to have really kind of eluded him, going back to the start of his career.
Yeah, it would be nice for Romans to get that win. And then race 9, see, the last one that I charted was the Pegasus Filly and Mare Turf. And I really like the 3-horse Lady Fight Spear.
Yep.
At 8 to 1. I mean, it fits with Regal Glory, but I think that horse is going to be a price. And then Shifty She also fits. And for that setting, I used a mile to a mile and a 16th all turf last 40 weeks. And Shifty She had the biggest data set to work with. So, she absolutely fits at 6 to 1, too.
Excellent. And I think she'll take him a long way. I brought her up a little bit with. As well with Mike Welch. Papo Morales, everybody. Papo Core 1, Form to Win. If you want to go to formtowin.com and download, Papo's tutorials are up there. 2 free races a day. Get familiar, and we're not far off from a freshening, actually, of the interface as well. So Form to Win, giving you a easy, fast analysis and basically a speed. Really based on speed more than anything, and just remarkable when it comes to finding you some prices. Form to Win on your apps and at formtowin.com. Papo, good luck. We'll talk next week, and we will be back in 3 hours, 3 o'clock, to start coverage. We're only 15 minutes away or 10 minutes away from Laurel. Yeah, 12 minutes to post at Laurel. 32 at Gulfstream, 17 at Tampa, 21 at Aqueduct. So when we talk to you in 3 hours, we'll give you some early results. In NHC 22, want to thank Keith Chamberlain and Ron Anderson, Scott Shapiro, Jay Privman, Hammer, Mike Welch, Scully and Papo. Some news that's just hitting right now. Return to grade 1 status for the Bluegrass, the New York Stakes, a grade 1, I think, for the first time at Belmont, and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint is becoming a grade 1. The announcement from the Graded Stakes Committee, you'll find it on your phone and on your computer shortly. Talk to you in 3 hours from Bally's Las Vegas.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's Live Foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.